I was reading the other day, friends, a true story from the Chicago Tribune. It's reported that a man named Billy Mallory traveled to India to discover the purpose of life. But he didn't find the answer there. And so after returning, he noticed at the Chevron gas station, they had a sign that said, "As you travel, ask us." So every time he pulled into the Chevron gas station, he would look at the sign and say, "I'm a traveler. I would like to ask a question. What is the purpose of life?" These were the real answers he got. The first guy said, "Sorry, I'm new here." The second guy said, "I don't remember anything in the manual about that." Another guy said, "I'm not much for church myself, sir. However, the most people gave him a blank stare. But he kept asking at all the Chevron gas stations. And one day he got a phone call from the Chevron customer relations officer who said, "We understand that you have been asking our dealers questions and getting unsatisfactory answers." The man suggested that he writes out his question and sends it to the Chevron corporate office with a self-addressed stamped envelope. And so Bill Mallory wrote, "What is the purpose of life?" And he sent it to the Chevron gas company. A couple weeks later, the envelope was returned. And the only thing in it was an application for a credit card. Friends, God has a purpose for each of our lives. Do you agree? We were created on purpose by the wise and loving God. He made us for a reason, because everything that God does, He does it intentionally. If you want to know the purpose of life, you are not going to find it at a gas station or on a talk show. Instead, you have to talk to the Creator, God, who made you. And you've got to look at the owner's manual, the Bible. Today's message is entitled, "I Am Planned for God's Pleasure." And this highlights the main point, which is that it's not about us. It's about God. The purpose of life doesn't revolve around us, our needs, our desires, our fulfillment. It revolves around God. It starts with Him and it ends with Him. And in Colossians 1 verse 16, the Bible says, "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him." Do you see that, friends? You were made by God for God. Think about that. What portion of the universe and the galaxies do we see? We have the Hubble. Is Hubble?
Yeah.
A telescope that makes us see a little bit more. But most of it we can't see. And so we ask ourselves the question, who are they for? Not for us. We can't appreciate them because we can't even see them. The answer is for God. They were made for God. He didn't make them for us. He made them for His own pleasure. What about the fish in the sea? There's some fish we don't even know exist. Why were they made? They were made for God's pleasure, friends. In Revelation 4 verse 11, the Bible says, You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. Did you see that, friends?
Yeah.
And that includes you. That includes me. Everything he made for his pleasure. God made you to enjoy you. He made you for a purpose, his purpose. And the only reason you are alive today is because he wants you alive.
Yes.
We are created by God so that we could bring him pleasure. Now that doesn't mean because we seek God's purpose for our lives that we won't have our needs met. The opposite is true, friends. If we focus on ourselves and people say this, it's all about me, myself and I. If we focus on ourselves, we will completely miss the purpose for which we were created. But if we focus on God, the true center of our lives, then we will find everlasting joy and peace, because that's what we were made for. We exist for God, friends. We were made to honor and serve and worship the Creator. Any other approach is like driving east of Smoky Lake and hoping you're going to land up in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Every time when we think it's about us and we focus on our us, we're heading in the wrong direction, friends. I like this, the Bible says in Matthew 10:39, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. If your life revolves around yourself and your own concerns, if your days are filled with your personal quest for what you hope will make you happy, you are heading for disappointment, disillusionment, and despair. Because according to God's word, there's only one way to be satisfied, and it's not focusing on ourselves and our desires, it's by focusing on God and his purposes. Amen.
Yes.
Christ taught in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I know that goes against everything that has been taught by the world. But friends, if we put God first rather than ourselves, listen, if you put God first rather than yourself, ourselves, in the end, we will have everything we've ever dreamed possible. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you see that, friends? As parents, we enjoyed watching our children grow up. And the same is true for God. He enjoys you being you. He enjoys watching you. He was smiling in the delivery room when you were born. And last week I spoke about how God, we were created to be loved by God. You were created to be loved by God. And this week, friends, today, we are looking at the other side of God's desire for us, and that is, we are made to love him back.
Amen.
To love him back. There's your purpose. You say, Keith, that's it. Let's go home. You are alive today because God made you with this primary purpose, and that is to love him back.
Yes.
You said, I was wondering yesterday, what am I doing here? You are alive to love him back. Well, I don't know. I'm telling you now, you know. Friends, one day someone asked Jesus, what's the most important commandment, the greatest commandment in the entire Bible? And in Matthew, it says this, Matthew 22, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Do you know that I read the same verse in Deuteronomy? Do you know that Mark said it? Do you know that Luke said it? And they added there and they used these words that we are to love the Lord also with all our strength. God says that if we don't get anything else, yes, what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to learn to love me back. You are supposed to learn to love me back because I love you and I know you and I want you to know me and to love me back. Isn't that lovely, friends? So, there's a word for everything I've said. There's a word for everything I said. And this word is often misunderstood. And this word is worship. Worship. Worship is knowing God and loving Him back. So is worship then more than just four songs?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You see, we think, friends, that worship is four songs. And worship is praying and coming to church. And we call this the worship service and so on and so on. We think that's it. Those can be very meaningful worship experiences, but they're only a small part of what worship involves. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Because fundamentally, friends, worship is not about religious activity. Worship is not about religious activity. As you know, it's possible to be involved in worship and yet at the same time not truly worshiping God. Hey? Haven't we all done this? Singing and praying on autopilot? Hey? Not thinking about what we're doing, not really hearing the words that's coming out of our mouths. Or worse yet, conducting our own little religious performance for the benefit of those around me so that they can see how pious I am, eh? And they can see how quickly I can quote the right verses. I can say amen at the right time, man. I know all the words of the songs, man. I know the words of the hymns, man. Hoping that others will admire my voice and my musical skill. And when God sees that kind of worship, needless to say, He isn't impressed, as Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 15. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Friends, when we are really worshiping, all those activities that we mentioned should help us to focus our minds on God. We should strive to make all of that an expression of our love for God. And so when you see people singing, when you see people raising their hands, when you hear people praying, when you see people serving, and this, it's an expression of their love for God. Do you see that, friends? Do you know that I read somewhere that the Greek word for worship literally means to kiss and embrace? So just think about that. When you're worshiping God, you are taking your Father, you are hugging Him, you are kissing Him. Isn't that worship, friends? Hey? Showing you Him how much you love Him. Psalm 95 verse 6, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Revelations 4:10, the 24 elders fell down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay down their crowns before the throne. These were actions of worshipers, friends, who wanted to show God how much they love Him. So worship exists for the to show God how much we love Him. Friends, it's our purpose in life. It's our highest priority. And probably the best verse that defines worship, that defines our very first purpose, is in Romans 12 verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your vocal cords. No. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Worship is the process of giving ourselves completely to God in every sphere of life. It involves offering ourselves to God for His use, whatever we are, whatever we're doing. Friends, it is the heart attitude of devotion and submission and obedience that begins when we get up in the morning and continues until we retire at night and everything in between. In other words, properly understood, worship isn't a part of our lives. Listen, I'm going to say that again. It's very important. Worship isn't a part of our lives. It is our lives. Note the word offer. What are we supposed to offer? What can you give God that He doesn't have or give Him who owns everything? Well, it's not on the screen, but listen to the Message paraphrase of the Bible. It says that same verse, Romans 12 verse 1. Listen how it puts it. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday life. Ordinary life. Your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Worship, friends, is a response of our love to God's love. Just as Christ gave Himself utterly and completely for us, willingly laying down His life on the cross as payment for our sins, in response, we now give ourselves to God. Without reservation, John said, in 1 John 4 verse 10 and then later in 19, he said, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And verse 19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. Isn't that lovely, friends? Do you know, Jesus replied, I said this verse earlier, let's put it on again, I love this verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. Mark 12, 30, Luke 10, 27, Matthew 22, 20, 37. He said, this is the first and greatest commandment. Three areas, friends, in which we worship our minds, our emotions, and our wills. We can put it this way. God wants our attention, He wants our affection, and He wants our action. Or we could say that He wants us to love Him thoughtfully with all our minds, passionately with all our hearts and soul, and practically with all our strength. But no matter how you phrase it, these three areas that I've mentioned make up who we are. All of us. All of who we are. God wants me to love Him three ways. Even though God created the entire world, the entire universe, and you. There are three things that God does not have unless you give it back to Him. He doesn't have your attention. He doesn't have your affection. He doesn't have your ability unless you give it to Him. And that's why you're alive. That's your purpose. Whenever you take the things God has given you and you give it back to Him, it's called the heart of worship. So let me just take a few minutes. I took too much time this morning. Did you notice? So he robbed me. Just kidding. Worship is focusing, number one. Worship is focusing our attention on God. This is loving God with all your mind. A lot of religions require putting your mind in neutral to drift in and out of a trance. And they call it worship. But the truth is, friend, God wants us to worship Him thoughtfully. Amen? Paul was referring to this when he writes in Romans 12 verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We memorize the King James, eh? But friends, listen. To engage our minds, it takes energy. It takes getting our minds focused on God. Do you know why? Because God is focused on you. Right? You know what the psalmist said there? Psalm 139, 1 and 2. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up, you know my thoughts. Even when I'm far away. Friends, God has focused His attention on you. He never takes His eyes off of you. That's how much He loves you. He never stops thinking about you. Because He made you to love you. Since God focuses on you, He wants you to focus on Him. We are not like those autofocus cameras. We have to decide to focus. We have to choose to stop thinking about some things and start thinking about God. Why? Or how? Let me ask. How do we do that? We must establish a daily time with God to talk to Him and read His word. This is called worship. And we can do this in our car. We can do this on the tractor. You can do this at your work or when you're going for a walk, or in your living room, anywhere where you can focus on God. Just to be with God simply. Just be yourself. No ceremony. No fancy words. Don't try to be spiritual. It doesn't work. Don't change your voice or your accent or use the King James Version. I beseech thee. Beseech what? You know, I know a fellow in South Africa. He comes from a little town. But every time he's called upon to pray, he prays in an American accent. You haven't been out of your town. Just focus on God. Be yourself. Get to know Him. That's what it's about, friends. Now, not only is worship focusing my attention on God, number two, worship is expressing my affection to God. It's expressing my affection to God. We worship God by offering ourselves up to Him in the realm of our emotions and our affections and our passions, friends. This is loving God with all your heart and soul. Some of us find it difficult to express our love. I know for a fact, friends, there are some families who don't even know how to say I love you to each other. We find it hard to say I love you. Some people are worried that if they say it first, then it won't be said back. But the neat thing about God, friends, is that He has taken away that risk. How? God said it first to you. God said, I love you in so many ways. He created and cared for us. Even when we didn't know it, He was showing love to you. The Bible says, it's not there, not now. We love Him because He first loved us. Now we look at Hosea 6 verse 6. God says, I want you to show love. Not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. Listen how the Living Bible puts it. It's not there. The Living Bible says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offering. I want you to know me. Yes. Friends, to love God and to know God is the first purpose of your life. Someone asks you, so hey, what's the purpose of your life? You can say, to love God and to know God. Amen. If you get that done, friends, you have accomplished the first or the most important thing in your life. Now imagine if I come to my bride Helen. Imagine I say, Hill. I call her Hill. Hill. Yeah, some flowers for you. There are three reasons. I'm your husband. It's our anniversary, number two. Number three, husbands are supposed to give their wives flowers on their anniversary. So, yeah. That's just the South African part. Wouldn't she be thrilled? No. Why? She wants me to love her, friends. She doesn't want duty. Do you understand? She wants me to want to give her flowers. Do you see that, friends? And the same is true for God. He doesn't want, oh, okay, it's Sunday, I better go to church. He doesn't want that. Or to say, okay, then I love you. He doesn't want duty. He doesn't want ritual. He doesn't want religion or rules or regulation. He wants relationship.
Amen.
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 Amen. He wants relationship. Why? Because he loves you and he wants you to love him back. He says, I want you to love me as much as I love you, because I made you and I created you. Let's look at this verse, Romans 6:13. Give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. God gave us life, and now he gives us new life in Jesus. He says, come on, guys. I tell you, if we all understand that, it'll be a different world, friends. God says, I want you to give yourself completely back to me. So worship is focusing my attention, my mind for God. And worship is expressing my affection for God. And one more. Worship is using my abilities for God. Using my abilities for God. We worship God by giving him our actions, by living in obedience to his commandments, and by offering up to him our abilities. And this is loving God with all our strength. I am married long enough, friends. You know, the other day, we married 40 years, but the other day we celebrated 47 years anniversary. You know why? We were dating 7 years before our wedding. 7 years. I've been married long enough to know that it takes more than words to express affection. Don't you agree? Helen likes to let me tell her I love her. But she also needs to see practical expressions of love. So when I'm washing the dishes and she's cooking, that's me expressing love to her in a practical way. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
When I take out the garbage, when I do my chores, when I repair certain things that have to be done, friends, when I have to run errands and responsibilities to be shared and giving up my time for her, this is my expression of my love for her. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Friends, that's part of worship too. I'm going to give you one more verse, then I'm going to wind down. Colossians 3 verse 17 and then 23. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for men. Did you notice the word whatever you do? That's another way of saying anything you do. You don't have to join a monastery to worship more. Just change. Listen, this is very important, friend. Just change who you are working and living for. And then your work and your life becomes worship. Many of us put our lives in compartments. Yeah, okay. Yeah is my worship. I go to church. I sing. I read my Bible. I pray. That's my worship. And then you see, yeah, that's my career. And over, yeah, that's my social life. No, God is saying, I want you to invite me into every area of your life. Every area of your life, friends. You know, Mark Twain once encountered a businessman from Boston who said to him, "Before I die, I want to go to the Holy Land, and when I'm there, I want to make my way and climb up Mount Sinai. And from the top of Mount Sinai, I want to shout each of the Ten Commandments on the top of my voice." Unimpressed, Mark Twain responded, "I got a better idea. Stay in Boston and obey the Ten Commandments." Mark Twain got it right. Genuine faith results in obedience to God. The Anglican bishop, English bishop, J.C. Ryle, once said, "The best public worship is that which produces the best private Christianity." When we fully trust God with our lives, friends, it pleases God. Our lives please God. Notice, friends, in life, it's not about what you do that matters. It's who you do it for.
Yeah, that's right.
So your work can be turned to worship. It doesn't matter if you're a farmer or a carpenter. You can do it for God. You can do it for God. If you are good at repairing stuff and cooking, you can do it as unto God. And that turns work into worship. And then we are worshiping God with all that we are. With all who we are. 24/7. Not just in church, friends. He wants it to be worship with your whole life. Friends, we understand how passionate God is about us, how much He cares for us. When you do that, you can't help but love and worship Him. The Bible says that in heaven we are going to worship God by giving Him our attention, our affection, and our abilities for all eternity. And yeah, today you are in kindergarten. Yeah, today is a dress rehearsal because God wants you to practice now before you get there. Remember, friends, I want to conclude with this. You were planned for God's pleasure. You were planned to know God and to love Him back. Why? Brings Him pleasure, friends. That's your purpose in life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, there's so many things in life that want our attention. Oh, man, there's so much pressure. But today, Lord, you have brought us aside. And while we are so thrilled that you love us, that you think about us, that you smile upon us, that you sing for us, that you adore us, Lord, you are saying, "But my purpose for you is to love me back." Help us, Lord, that we may love you back, that we may desire to know you. Help everyone here, Lord. None of us have arrived, but it's so good this morning that as we worship you with song and prayer and your word, sharing your word, Lord, that this is only a way in which we can focus on you this morning. And we can focus on you because we love you, Lord. As Sharon prayed earlier, we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Help us, Lord, as we go from this place in the quietness of our lives, that we will, Lord, love you with everything that we are. You created us for this. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to ask the praise and worship team to come and let's sing one more song.